on. Hi. Make your way to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll be in verses 1 through 6. The tablet's been rebelling this afternoon, so if I have to go to plan B and you see all those papers, don't. It's not a full bucket. It's really large print. So while you're making your way to 1 Timothy, I'm going to read something to you. You're going to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Paul said this: "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. The glorious gospel, or good news, is that anyone, any person, regardless of their situation, can obtain forgiveness for all their sins by accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. A person can do this right here at this altar, can do it at home, can do it at work, be laying in a mud puddle, it doesn't matter, as long as you turn your heart to Christ and confess with your mouth, you can be saved." Paul said that this is the message that he has been entrusted with, and he was to give it to the Gentile world. Gentile simply means not Jewish. The message tonight has... Plan B. The message tonight has many hours of study and prayer and help from the Holy Spirit. I've been entrusted with it, and I'm to give it to you. Paul said the message he brought was not his message, that it was God's message. This message tonight is not my message, it's God's message. Paul thanked Christ Jesus our Lord for enabling him, for counting him faithful, and for putting him into the ministry. I thank you, Lord, for enabling me and counting me faithful and for putting me into the ministry. Paul felt so greatly privileged because Jesus sought him out for salvation, and I am also greatly blessed and privileged that Jesus sought me out. Bible commentary says that Paul really thought himself to be doing the right thing when he was persecuting the Christians, but Jesus knew the heart of Paul. Jesus knows our hearts. Jesus turned Paul around on the road to Damascus and helped Paul to turn his heart to him. Tonight, if you'll let him, Jesus can turn your heart and show you your greatest need. God desires for all men to be saved, and God desires for you to be saved. You have to desire to be saved. God will not force you. He loves you, but he wants you to freely choose him. The title of God's message tonight is All Kinds of Prayer for All Kinds of People. Paul did not go into the ministry. Jesus put him in the ministry. I did not go into the ministry. Jesus put me in this ministry. Some of you may be asking, Brother Tim, how and why did Jesus put you into the ministry? Well, I love to tell this story of my friend. My friend had a burden for me. My friend cared for me. My friend developed a relationship with me. My friend invested in me. My friend prayed for me. My friend got others to pray for me. This is the burdened heart of a soul winner. Burden, care, relationship, investment, prayer. Jesus answered those prayers December 29th in 2019. Mark it down. Jesus is in the prayer answering business. Prayer is how and prayer is why I am behind the pulpit tonight. Who's my friend? We call him Pastor. Let's pray. Father, thank you for helping me with this message. Thank you for my pastor. Please bring him home safely tonight or tomorrow. Please empty me of myself and fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to give the message that you want for your people this evening. I ask for these blessings in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So I read this article studying for this message, and the man's name is Stephen J. Cole. And he wrote, "One day Hudson Taylor was traveling on a Chinese junk from Shanghai to Ningbo. He had been witnessing to a man named Peter who was resisting the message but was under deep conviction. In the course of events, Peter fell overboard. Taylor panicked when he saw that no one made any effort to save the man. Instinctively, he sprang to the mast, let down the sail, and jumped overboard in hopes of finding his friend. A fishing boat was close by, so Taylor tried to solicit their help, but they wouldn't stop their fishing to look for this drowning man unless Taylor agreed to pay them. Not only that, but to Taylor's dismay, they wanted to barter for every penny he had. He agreed to pay them a sizable sum, then they agreed to help. In less than a minute after dragging with the fishing net, they found Peter, but it was too late. Peter was dead. They had been too busy fishing to worry about a drowning man." What a tragic story. How calloused and self-centered those Chinese fishermen must have been to realize that a man was drowning nearby and yet to be more concerned about their own financial gain than about saving his life. After that illustration, Mr. Cole wrote this: "Before we condemn those fishermen, we need to ask ourselves, how concerned am I with the people around me who are drowning without Jesus Christ? Do I care more about my own comfort and financial gain than I do about people dying around me without the Savior? Do I go on about my business day after day, week after week, without any burden for those who need to know Christ as Savior?" We might respond by asking something like this: "Well, after all, what can I do? I'm just one person, and there's billions out there that don't know Christ." For starters, we can commit ourselves to prayer. You can meet with others to pray for those who are lost and perishing without the Savior. You say, "Prayer? Come on, Brother Tim. I thought you were really talking about a way I could help. You know, a way I could do something that would really make a difference." That's precisely what we're talking about here right now. Prayer is doing something. Prayer will make a tremendous difference. The amazing fact is that God has chosen to work in response to the prayers of His people. This is God's plan. Our text tonight is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. These verses provide a perspective on prayer. Christians are not only supposed to pray, but we are to pray for all men. Understand that when these verses say all men, that means men, women, and children. They mean all of mankind. The Bible says, chapter 2, verse 1, 1 Timothy, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Paul is giving instruction to Timothy. He said the main focus of the church is to pray and give thanks to God. That focus should be our main focus: prayer and giving thanks to God. Prayer is the foundation which supports all other church activities. The Bible says in Acts 2:42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Without a proper prayer life, people are distant from God and destined to rely on their own strength and intelligence. The Bible says in John 15:5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." Without a proper prayer life, you and I are distant from God. If believers are not praying, churches will lose relevance and their spiritual vibrancy. The Bible says in Revelations 2:4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast lost thy first love." If a church is to be successful, it must be a praying church. Mark 11:17, "And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer?" If Valley Avenue Baptist Church is to be successful, we are to be a praying church. I read this article. The writer is unknown. He wrote, "If you ask almost any pastor what meetings are the worst attended, it is the prayer meetings. This should not be so. If believers are not praying, it is no wonder that churches are losing relevance and their spiritual vibrancy." End quote. Did you know that we have prayer meeting here every Sunday morning at 8 a.m.? These prayer meetings are good and acceptable in the eyes of God. I do not intend any undue pressure here on anyone. I just want you to know, if the Lord leads you to it, they are at 8 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Verse 1, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men." Why didn't Paul just say prayers? Why call out four different courses of prayer? Using several different words shows us that the content of prayer is to be rich and varied. As believers, we should seek a balanced prayer life. If we are balanced in our prayer lives, then that means we are praying different kinds of prayers to God on a regular basis. A commentator wrote this, "In a quality relationship, quality communication is essential." So let's look at the four courses of prayer Paul writes about. First of all, it's supplications. From its Latin translation of supplicate, meaning to plead humbly, supplication can also be summarized as a request to God. Supplications are prayers arising from a sense of need. In the verse, it means requests. Sensing our lack of sufficiency and God's unlimited sufficiency, that alone should move us to pray. God's people should use supplication as a means of praising God and casting worries upon Him, releasing cares from our hearts and minds. Prayers is a general term for prayer to God. One commentator suggests that the word here refers to requests for needs that are always present, in contrast to specific and special needs that are not always present. God's people always needs the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These needs are always present in the life of a Christian. We cannot do these things without God's help. Amen. In contrast, we do not always need prayer for good health. We do not always need prayer for pains to go away. We do not always need prayer for trials to go away. These things are not always present in everyone's life. Sometimes we're actually doing really well, and we praise God for those times. Intercessions, or petitions, means to converse freely. It pictures someone who can go into the presence of the King and talk freely with Him on someone else's behalf. In this particular usage, intercessions also means prayers. Intercessory prayer is generally when you are praying for someone else and not yourself. This would be the proper usage here, since the prayers were for all men. It is used of the intercessory work of the Holy Spirit and of Christ on our behalf. The Bible says in Romans 8:27, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." It points to the fact that we can go freely before God at any time or in any place to talk with Him on the behalf of others. Thanksgiving, giving thanks to God. This points to the fact that we must express not only our supplications, prayers, and intercessions, but our gratitude to God as well, for He is gracious in answering our prayers. I think my favorite prayer is when it's easy to get like those Chinese fishermen, so busy with our own interests that we're indifferent to those who are drowning nearby. Our prayer life What we pray for and how often reveals the intensity of our concern to Jesus. Allow God's Spirit to speak to you through this portion of His Word. We need God, and therefore we need to pray. So we know what to pray. Who should we pray these things for? Paul just said in verse 1, all men. And in the next text, in verse 2, he adds a distinction. Verse 2, he says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I found a funny definition for the word all. At least it was funny to me. It said, all means all, and that's all that all means. Let me read that again. All means all, and that's all that all means. Paul told Timothy that prayers and thanks to God should be made for all men everywhere. Then he got more specific. He said, for kings and for all that are in authority. Prayer should include all men and those who have authority. What kind of authority? And who are all men in authority? The most powerful world authorities, President Biden, Chinese President Xi Jinping, North Korea's Kim Jong-un. This authority structure drills all the way down to our local county and city governments. Paul is preaching that it is especially important to pray for those who rule over us. If the leader of a country is a tyrant, it is not very likely that Christians would be able to live a peaceable life. Paul said to pray for the Lord to lead the king to peace in a country of his subjects. You might be asking, how does that apply today? Men and women are in office because God has allowed it for a reason. We should not speak against those that God has put into power. Remember David and Saul? King Saul chased and tried to kill David for years. Then in the cave, David could have easily killed Saul and put an end to all that running for his life. But instead of speaking against the king that God had appointed, or worse, David said this in 1 Samuel 24, verse 6. The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed. That's what David said about Saul. The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. David knew that King Saul was anointed by God, and that he wasn't supposed to do anything to hurt Saul or do anything bad against Saul. Remember, during Bible times, there was much persecution of the Christians. Leaders who were led by every little whim of circumstance could make it very difficult to be a Christian. The people often prayed for the king, whoever he was, to have a long life. Paul would know of the hardships of kings who were influenced by ungodly people. He had been imprisoned himself several times. Sometimes he was held for a long time in prison because the ruler would not make a decision to release him, fearing the people or rulers over him. Paul used the fact that he was a Roman to save himself from prison several times. Right now you might be thinking, Brother Tim, you must have inhaled too many automotive chemicals this week and lost your mind if you think I'm going to pray for President Biden. And you're really nuts if you think I'm going to pray for China and North Korea's leaders. Okay, I get it. You don't like the president. You don't like communistic regimes. Let me help you with two things. One, Bible says in John 13:34, and I'm pretty sure Brother Chad hammered it pretty good this morning, in the morning main message. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Jesus says you cannot be his disciple if you do not love all men. But Brother Tim, you don't know what they did. No, I don't. And I don't need to know. I know I'm sorry about it for you. I know God will use it for the purposes of His goodwill if you love Him. And I know we will pray about it for you. And I know what Jesus says. Ye must love all men and pray for them. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Ye must love all men. And two, when Paul wrote this, Nero was the Roman emperor, king. He was the fifth emperor of Rome. His reign was associated with unrestricted tyranny, religious persecution, and debauchery. History records Nero as starting the Great Roman Fire in 64 AD. Nero himself blamed the fire that he started on the Christians, whom he indiscriminately and mercilessly crucified. During gladiator matches, he would feed the Christians to lions, and he often lit his garden parties with the burning carcasses of Christian human torches. He was a bad dude, and he hated Christians. Nero is the king who ordered the death of Paul by beheading him. I could not find an exact quote of the Apostle Paul's last words. However, due to the recorded testimony of Paul's life, I have a high level of confidence that the Roman soldier that was swinging the axe, he was hearing the gospel of Jesus. And he was hearing Paul pray for him and Nero as he was swinging it. Paul told Timothy to teach the church to pray for all men and kings to pray for Nero. That means the Bible says that we are to pray for President Biden and the Chinese and Korean leaders, all the way down to and for our local leaders. Yes, even if you didn't vote for them or want them. It's what God says. It's right here in the text, for kings and for all that are in authority. Why did Paul say that? Verse 3, the Bible says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Paul said that prayer and thanksgiving is precious in the sight of God our Savior. He said, "Praying for all men everywhere and those that are in authority pleases God. Prayer offered for all sorts and conditions of men is good and acceptable before God." When he said in the sight of God our Savior, as he did in verse 1, Paul is referring to God the Father, as it immediately precedes the blessed statement of the next verse, "who will have all men to be saved." Verse 4, "who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Paul said that it is God's desire for all men to be rescued from eternal destruction and to know the truth of the gospel of Christ. God our Savior, the Father, is the designer of the salvation plan for all men. God our Savior, the Son, is the way in which the plan is carried out. Scriptures testify just how important it is to the Lord for all to be saved. John 3:17, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." 2 Peter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So who does God choose to perish, and who does God choose to come to repentance? You're right. That's a ridiculous question. God does not choose anyone to perish. God chooses for all men to be saved. The problem is that all men do not choose God. God desired for Nero to turn his heart to Him. God desires for world leaders, whoever they are, to turn to Him. God desires for the President of the United States, whoever that is, to turn to Him. Do I know anything about President Biden's salvation? No, I do not. Do I even care if the President is saved? I better. We all better. I know by his outward actions and manners that he does not display a Christ-like testimony. I do not intend for that statement to be an offense or any type of inappropriate remarks on my part, simply the truth. Christ's light does not shine bright from our president or many other of the world leaders. I'm not being mean-spirited about it, it's just honest. Christians are to pray for all men everywhere. Christians are to pray for all of those in authority everywhere. We are to pray for all men everywhere. We are to pray for the president and all leaders everywhere to draw nigh to Christ, because this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. What is the knowledge of the truth? In verse 5, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Paul said there is one God, one mediator, one salvation plan. Before the cross of Christ, there was no way for man to go directly to God the Father. The temple curtain was closed, and no one could enter except the high priest. He could enter only when he was accompanied by the blood of the sacrifice. God was away from man, and it may have seemed impossible for Christians of that season to reach God. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, the veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom, opening the way for the plain old everyday Christian to go to God. Plain old everyday Tim can go straight to God the Father. Plain old everyday Brother What's-His-Name back there can go straight to God the Father. We can pray directly to God in the name of Jesus Christ, and God will hear our prayer. Jesus is our mediator. He is our high priest. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So, wherefore he... We're talking about, the Bible is talking about Christ. Paul is talking about Christ. Well, we assume it's Paul. He's talking about Christ. Is able. Do you believe Christ is able? Do you believe Christ is able? To save them to the uttermost. To save them to the uttermost. He's talking about all men again. That come unto God by him. Him is Christ. And after men come to God through Christ, then forever and ever, Jesus will make intercessions for them. Who's them? All men, all of mankind that come to him. So do you remember the definition of intercessions? Someone who can go into the presence of the king and talk freely with him on the behalf of others. Jesus will go to God and talk freely with him on the behalf of anyone and everyone who has come unto the knowledge of the truth of Christ. Jesus will go to God and talk freely with him on our behalf. On my behalf, and on your behalf, if you have freely chosen to come under the knowledge of the truth of Christ. That's just incredible. Jesus wants to pray to the Father for us. Verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Ransom. When you hear that word, do your thoughts immediately go to a kidnapped child of some rich or famous person? But now we live in the season of everything electronic. And there's a newer type of ransom emerging, and it's called ransomware. The University of California at San Francisco paid a ransom demand of $1.14 million to recover files encrypted by ransomware. The institution was attacked on June 1st when ransomware was discovered in the systems of UCSF School of Medicine. The IT staff attempted to isolate the infection, which prevented the malware from extending to the core of the UCSF network and producing additional damage. The school said the attack did not affect their patient care delivery operations, overall campus network, or their COVID-19 work. However, the UCSF servers used by the School of Medicine were encrypted. That means whoever this hacker was put a program on their servers to kept them from accessing their own information. The NetWalker ransom gang was believed to be responsible for that attack. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines ransom this way: the money or price paid for the redemption of a prisoner or a slave, or for goods captured by an enemy. A payment that procures the release of a prisoner or captive, or of captured property. A payment that restores the prisoner or captive or the property to the original owner. The University of California at San Francisco paid over $1 million to purchase their own property back. Verse 6 has to do with a purchase that Jesus made. Jesus paid his life's blood to purchase the salvation for all men who will choose to accept that truth. He purchased our salvation for us with his precious blood. All men everywhere are captives of sin until they choose Christ for their redemption. We were captives of sin until we chose Christ. He took our sin upon his body on the cross, and then sin for us died on that cross. God desires that for all men. God desires for us to make that supplication for all men. To testify means to tell something because you know it to be a fact. All who have been saved can testify of Jesus. Paul could definitely testify of Jesus. He met him on the road to Damascus. Paul was to testify to the Gentiles of the fact that Jesus had purchased all who would receive him with his precious blood. I can definitely testify of Jesus. I met him at the service counter at Holman's Ford almost 2 years ago. I testify to you right now the fact that Christ purchased me, and he purchased anyone else who will receive him. And it cost him way more than $1.4 million. Cost him his precious blood. And I can tell you right now, that moment on the cross that was accounted in Matthew 27, verse 46, when Jesus asked, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That moment, for the first time ever, Jesus was disconnected from God the Father. Now imagine for just a moment when we get to heaven if we can ask Jesus which was worse, being crucified or being forsaken by God. We hear a lot of preaching about the blood of Christ and crucifixion, and rightly so. It is by no means a trivial fact. I'm simply pointing out that Jesus might, he might say, being forsaken by my Father was even worse than being crucified. The point is, the ransom that Jesus paid is immeasurable by our standards of measurement. Jesus freely gave himself as an immeasurable payment for all of man's sins, and Christians are to testify that truth to everyone, so everyone has a chance to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Christians are to pray for all men everywhere, no matter who they are, to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You and me, we are to pray for all men everywhere, no matter who they are, to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So, evaluate your next prayer time and ask yourself, do I have a varied prayer life, or am I just focused on certain prayers? Am I praying for all men? Am I praying for the Neros of this world to turn their hearts to the knowledge of the truth? That's the charge that Paul laid on Timothy and the church at Ephesus. And that's the charge that Paul is laying on Valley Avenue Baptist Church tonight. Let's all stand and have every eye closed and every head bowed in a prayer. And Josh, and put some invitation music on. Father, I don't know how you've worked in the hearts of your people here tonight. I know how you worked in mine the weeks and weeks that you helped me study for this message. It was an eye-opener, and Father, I'm doing the best that I can to apply these truths to my prayer life. It's hard, and I can't do it without you. If God's worked in your heart tonight and revealed anything that you need to make right with him, step out and come to the altar. You won't regret it. It's the greatest peace and feelings you will ever experience. Dear God, I know I should be praying for all men. I need your help, Lord. Can't do it alone. God, I know I should be praying for President Biden to know you. God, I know I should have a burden for the lost, no matter who they are. Dear God, I know I should be praying for all men everywhere, no matter what they've done. I should be praying for them to know you. God, I know I should be praying for my neighbor that cursed me. I should be praying for him to know you. God, I know I should be praying for my coworker that I do not get along with. I should be praying for them to know you. God, I know I should be praying about the fight that I just had with my family member. I should be praying for them to know you. If God is working in that way, just come down and get it settled. Perhaps God is stirring you right now, telling you that he doesn't know you. Maybe God is crying out to someone in this auditorium right now, come to me, child, I love you. It could be that God's been calling you for a while and you've been resisting him. Just come get it settled. Don't wait any longer. God ransomed an immeasurable price for you. He loves you so much that he separated himself from God for you. He testified on the cross for you. Now he's calling you to testify for him. He loves you. Do you love him? If you answered yes to that in your heart, then come receive him. He wants you to know. He wants you to come under the knowledge of his truth. He wants to help you. It's not too late. Maybe you almost stepped out. Just come.